everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of October 22nd through 28th, 2012, at least for those of us who haven't lost power to Sandy yet. Fortunately, the Grand Prix migrated up north, and Skate Canada and Windsor boasted the kind of ladies' field where before the competition, it looked like any of the 10 could at least medal provided they skated clean. So, naturally, that competition was riddled with falls, pops, downgrades, and even a wardrobe malfunction. A partial exception was Caitlin Osmond, who even let off the short with a bang, skating clean program, landing a triple toe, breaking 60, and coming in second to a slightly shocked Elena Nagitovanishvili, who went for the triple lutch, triple toe, didn't get it fully rotated, but squeaked a tiny lead on level 4 steps and high presentation scores. She talked afterwards about her attachment to the Schindler's List music she'd only chose in September after deciding to continue competing. Then the free, Nagitovanishvili was plagued with a fall, a pop, and 3 partial downgrades and dropped to 5th. But Osmond herself had fallen a step out and was second in the segment again, 5 points back of the 120 plus of Akiko Suzuki, who positively fluttered through a lovely free, and if she only avoided falling on a flip by following it with a single loop, which required her to re-choreograph on the fly to avoid Zayek issues, she pulled even that off with no further errors. But that was after her short had multiple issues, including a full downgrade on her triple toe attempt, and when the numbers crunched together, Osmond held on to claim gold and leave the Japanese girl with silver, 176.45 to 175.16. Below them, Xenia Makarova was third in the short, where she didn't even get one rotation or axel, but landed a triple toe and called it the best she'd felt in a long time. Then dropped to 6th in a 9th place free with 4 partial downgrades, a fall, and multiple messy jumps. Elisaveta Tektomishova was 3rd in the free, but a fall in the triple toe attempt in the short had left her 6th there, and when she fell on a partially under-rotated lutz in the free with no triple triples, in the end, even a single double loop cost her dearly, as with 168 even, she came in 400ths below Kanako Murakami, who was 4th in both segments, getting hit with 2 downgrades in the short, one of them major, and 3 more in the free with a single axle as well, but performed the character she'd wanted to, and by the standards of the weekend, staying on her feet through most of her long program was enough for a bronze. So the home team got a surprise win in the ladies, but they suffered a surprise loss in the men. First, for the second year in a row, Javier Fernandez surprisingly beat Patrick Tan in the short program, skating clean with the quad while the Canadian tripled the quad in his combo and fell out of his axle. Chan described himself as much more comfortable with his free than he did at the Japan Open, and certainly did better than they had there, but in long, he still put his hand down in a solo quad, fell on a partially under rotated axle and had a step out in a lutz that cost him a combo. And this time, Fernandez, amid Coach Brian Orser's discussions of his finally developing stamina through run-throughs, tripled and fell in the first of his 3 planned quads, but pulled off the other 2, Sal Cow and forced out combo in the second half, and more importantly, pulled everything else off too and kept his energy up to the end, earned a standing ovation, and not only beat Chan, but did so by 10 points, 253.49 to 243.43. Behind them, as in the ladies, much of his stacked field fell short, the Nobunori Oda did relatively well, when he landed a quadruple very close to the boards and got straight level 4s to overcome a large step out in his axle in the short program, then had a solo quad against another fallout on his axle and a partially under-rotated lutz in the free. His 238.34 total was bronze by 20 points after Florent Imodia in 4th fell on his quad Salchow and messed his other jumps up in the short, then stumbled out of it, doubled an axle, and did only one combo in the free. Ross Miner in 5th fell on his quad Sal in the short and doubled it in the free, among other errors. Dennis Ten, also among other errors, fell on a partially downgraded combo in the short and 3 times in the free, including on both quad attempts, neither fully rotated. And in 9th, Arthur Kaczynski actually landed a quad and quadruple in the free, but messed up just about everything else. After the short dance, the potential battle of the Carmens between Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer and Anna Capellini and Luca Linate actually looked potentially intriguing, as thanks to some low levels and especially some serious issues with their closing lift, which he'd hurt his neck on in Finland and they suggested they might alter, Virtue and Moyer led the Italians by a mere 100th of a mark. The latter were especially good in their polka. Then neither team did their best in the free. The Canadians even had a big stumble before their diagonal step sequence and a smaller one after. But their tariff was still higher, and Capellini and Linate didn't go all out in the performance quite enough when the two Carmens were done side by side. Virtue and Moyer easily outperformed them and won the free dance by nearly 10 points to win overall 169.41 to 160.06. Behind them, Ekaterina Ryazanova and Ilya Tichenko too looked like they might be in a battle for the bronze. They hadn't had the best polka and ended up with Madison Huppel and Zachary Donahue, less than a point behind, and Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier only a note 2. But both the latter two teams couldn't keep it up in the free, where Huppel and Donahue had a couple of glitches and with them low levels, dropping to 5th behind Gillis and Poirier, who themselves had a higher tariff than the Russians, but were less than smooth and fatigued by the end. So when Ryazanova and Tichenko, describing themselves as much less nervous in the free than they'd been in the short, were good enough in both tariff and execution and had higher presentation scores than both the other two teams, they opened up a much bigger lead, and with 143.39, they too won the bronze decisively. The pairs, however, reduced to 7 teams by the withdrawal of Stacey Kemp and David King for the second week in a row, lacked even that suspense. Alyona Savchenko and Robin Solkovy, standing by their crazy costumes and describing this as a low-stress season, started by skating cleanly, if a little slowly, in the short, through a triple flip, triple toes, and a triple twist, plus a level 4 on the death spiral everybody's been struggling all season to get a good level on. Then she got the flu overnight, so in the free, she staggered on the throw flip and doubled one of their triple toes, and they did double salchows for their solo jumps just to be safe, but when they managed everything else, they still won prettily with 201.36 overall. They needed to be pretty good this time, since Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford describing themselves as on a completely different level than when they had been a year ago, and spurred on by his family getting a rare chance to watch what for side-by-side tripletses in both programs. She too footed hers in the short, but they landed them cleanly in the free, and where they followed them up in the second half with triple salchow, double toe, double toes, and also went for throw tripletses in both programs and landed in the short, they didn't land either of the throws cleanly in the free, but even with that and a few choreographic stumbles by her, they still managed personal bests in a total of 190.49 and a very decisive silver. Nor were Stephania Burton and Ondrej Tatarczyk challenged for the bronze, especially after skating clean with triple toes in the short. Though in the free, the jumping passes they opened with didn't go quite so well. She stepped out at the end of their triple toe, double toe, double toes, and fell on their solo salchows, and their spin elements throughout the competition left a little to be desired too. The location of next year's Skate Canada was announced as being St. John in New Brunswick in the last week of October, the third time the competition has been there, the last time being back in 1999. But it'll be a smaller pairs field next week of only 6 teams at most, as China is now losing skaters too late for replacement, including Caitlin Inkauskas and Joshua Reagan, apparently due to a rib injury to him, and Artur Dmitriev in the men. And while the Japanese Federation officially announced today they are satisfied with the Chinese Federation's safety measures and are sending their skaters over with a pair of bodyguards, Narumi Takahashi and Mervyn Tran will not be among them. They are out of both of their vents with the news that she'd had trouble with a shoulder dislocating since April, and they finally decided they needed to do something to keep her from risking permanent damage to her arm. She needs surgery on her ligaments and will be off the ice 4 to 6 months, which may well cost them the entire season, though they are not yet ruling out all hope of making it to Worlds. The circuit is doing its best to replace all these pairs. Their scores aside, Danielle Montebano and Evgeny Krasnopolsky have gotten their second event in Russia, replacing Mari Vartman and Aaron Von Cleve, as have Nicole Delamonica and Matteo Gouris, and Anastasia Martyshieva and Alexei Roganov, both added to the roster of the NHK Trophy to replace Takahashi and Tran, and Weijing Sui and Kong Han. France also gave up a home spot, having no ice dance team to replace Tiffany Zahorsky and Alexis Miart. That has gone to Yulia Zlobina and Alexei Sitnikov. Takahashi isn't the only one needing surgery. So is Adrian Schulteis, undergoing a new surgery this week for his back, as he was diagnosed after the Finlandia Trophy with another herniated disc that makes it painful to move his left leg. Fortunately, if any more pairs pull out of the last three events, the alternates list has obtained a new entry, with Alex Eskimeka and Christopher Knyren getting on by winning the 17 pairs competition at Cup of Nice today, if only on the strength of their short program, where they skated clean with a triple twist, throw, triple flip, and side-by-side salchows. Their free wasn't quite as great. Here he stumbled and she fell on salchows that were partially downgraded, their throw, triple flip wasn't pretty, and their sequence ended up being a single axle double toe, plus the other lifts were heavy and the last one was visibly rough. Scoring 156 even, they were lucky Zina Stolbova and Fedor Klimov, who got to 155.04 by beating the Americans by nearly 10 points in the free, after barely pulling their triple twist off and landing smoother triple toe, double toes fell on both their throws, and that they'd had a fall and multiple other difficulties with their short, and also the vassals of Devon Cove and Andre Diputat, who were second after a short with a clean throw triple flip, but a bad twist and partially downgraded salchows, had an utterly disastrous long, where their sequences were complete washes, their throw flip was doubled and she fell, and that was after they'd gone down already on the death spiral. Their dismal 125.54 dragged them off the podium, leaving the bronze to Nicole Delamonica and Matteo Gouris, who doubled everything in the short, including their partially under-titted salchows, and in the free had a rough double twist and flawed throws, but avoided any falls and landed triple salchows cleanly. Much bigger were the singles events, but in the senior ladies, there was no one on paper the equal of the three Russian entries, and there really weren't. Even when none of them had good shorts, popped flip left Kristina Zasieva 7th, a fall on a partially downgraded triple salchow, triple toe, and a major downgrade on a two-footed lutz left Polina Agafanova 9th, and a mess of a way under rotated triple toe and popped axel left Polina Korobeynikova in 11th. It proved to be too much for Agafanova to quite overcome, though Korobeynikova, Zasieva, and she went 1-2-3 in the free skate, a fall, a couple of stumble, and no triple triples could only get her up to 6. But Korobeynikova delivered an almost clean program, and Zasieva too had only a couple of stumbles in hers, though one of them cost her combo. When they both broke 100, no one could match. Not even Ukrainian Natalia Popova, who had been second in the short, where her only problem had been finishing late, but a 5th place free with a fall, a couple smaller errors, and only one combo dropped her to 4th. The less said about Luxembourg skater Fleur Maxwell, who was third after the short, the better. The only one who could beat even Zasiva was Swede Isabel Olsen, who won the short with a clean program, at least when she got her gloves properly fitted, for a 10-point lead over Zasiva and a 12-point over Korobeynikova. But in her fourth place free, among other glitches, she had two falls and three downgrades, one major. And with a final score of 148.24, she held off the 146.87 of Zasiva for silver, but slipped behind the 149.82 of Korobeynikova, who pulled off one of the biggest comeback victories the Code of Points era has seen yet. The Russian men weren't quite so lucky, even though there were four of them. The field was stronger, plus the only one of them to skate well in the short was Vladislav Sezganov, which is especially remarkable when he had to keep it together through a power outage delay to come in third. Would-be top Russian John Bush was especially bad, singling his axel and falling on both the other two jumps he did, coming in all the way down in 15th, and doing almost as bad was Ian Beriev, who fell on his axel and did a triple single combo to be down in 8th. This pretty much meant the competition was going to be between the two Americans. Keegan Messing then beat Max Aaron in both segments by 5 points in the short when he forewent a quad to skate clean, while Aaron went for a quad salchow and fell on it, and the free by less than 1 point where he did go for the quad, partially under-rotated and fell on it, and a couple more mistakes including one that cost him a combo, while Aaron doubled his quad salchow, singled the toe after an axel, and didn't get credit for his choreographic sequence, which was why, while they went 1-2 with 224.44 and 219.62 respectively, they lost the segment to Bush, who landed a quad and skated clean and climbed up to 6th, just ahead of the unfortunate Sezganov, who did no quad and had a couple of doubles, so bronze instead went to Peter Liebers, who'd been a little behind Sezganov in the short after doubling his Lutz, and with 204.09 overall, made the podium on the strength of that score, though when he doubled the Lutz again after falling on a quad, he was 5th in the free behind Beriev, who had no big mistakes, though no quad either, and finished 5th overall. There were two junior events in the singles as well, and no one who can compete with the top Russians in either. They were run by Maria Stavitskaya and Alexander Petrov. The ice dance, too, was Russian-dominated, though it lost a lot of its luster after would-be top couple Elena Ilyinch and Nikita Ketslapov pulled out, announcing their intentions to compete at the Crystal Skate in Romania next week instead. That left the other two teams, Xenia Manco and Kirill Kavalian, and Valeria Staragina and Ian Volobuev, to battle it out. The latter team won the short when the former had bad twizzles, but had a bad spin in the free and low-level step sequences, a level 4 and everything else, to let the former surge ahead and take it, 140.62 to 137.60. With 118.69, Estonia's Arina Stork and Tavi Ron took the bronze in the strength of their short dance, though with only 7 elements in the free, they were beaten there by Italians Frederica Bernardi and Christopher Mier, and Czechs Lucy Mislakova and Neil Brown, who were 4th and 5th overall, respectively, the latter moving up from 6th. The Senior Bees will actually get a little more exciting, or at least the NRW Trophy will, as it was announced this week that Yina Kim will make her debut there before Korean Nationals. She may also enter the Golden Spin of Zagreb, if only as an alternate competition. This was after she had announced that she will train with her two childhood coaches, Shin Hee-suk and Ryo Jun-hyung, and so will remain in Korea. She speaks of her current focus being on getting her conditioning back. The U.S. regionals are now all concluded, with Central Pacific Southwesterns and South Atlantics all finishing up early this week. In Utah for Central Pacifics, Lady Diggs did not hold on to a short program lead. Her only attempt at anything harder than a salchow resulted in a doubled flip, plus she had a fall and partial downgrade, and slipped behind Christina Struthwolf, 107.76 to 106.04. Struthwolf didn't try anything harder than a salchow and had a partial downgrade herself, but that was only on a double, and she stayed on her feet. In the juniors, on the other hand, Polina Edmonds not only blew away the other junior ladies with a final score of 158.18, she did so when once again the top four all outscored even Struthwolf. In Colorado at Southwesterns, Ashley Kane did better, though she doubled the Lutz and fell in a loop and cited fatigue after. Her 156.13 dominated the other five senior ladies. The junior ladies was a far bigger affair with 20 skaters, but with 154.48, Morgan Bell dominated all of them, scoring even higher than the 151.03 of Chase Belmounts, who won the three-entry junior men's competition. In North Carolina at South Atlantics, Haley Dune also had a large win with 153.53, even when she singled a flip in both programs and had to improvise on her combo in the short. Those were her only big trouble. In the junior men, Patrick Yup came back against Marcus Miemedix to win a two-entry competition, 149.44 to 148.57, while in the junior ladies, Marie Yang initially beat Madison Vinci in the short, but was less successful in a free that dropped her to third and left the latter to win with her 139.40. Russian qualifying also continues with their third internal cup in Samara, where the men featured a battle between Mikhail Kolyada and Artem Bordulin. Kolyada edged Bordulin out in the short, but Bordulin blew Kolyada out in the free by nearly 11 points, winning 217.44 to 207.34. Vladislav Smirnov was unchallenged for bronze. It was not a dissimilar story in the juniors, where Andrei Lazukin had to come back from second behind Konstantin Mihalikov to win, though Mihalikov failed to hold up and dropped to third. The senior pairs were even more intriguing, with unknowns Christine Ashtakova and Maxime Rump winning the short program in a field that included Ekaterina Patykina and Konstantin Bezmeterik, and Anastasia Marchishieva and Alexei Roganov, though the latter didn't skate that well there. They were behind even Tatiana Novik and Andrei Novoselov, who then withdrew. But Ashtakova and Rump weren't able to hold up in the pre, dropping to third behind Marchishieva and Roganov, who won that segment, and Patykina and Bezmeterik, who won overall, beating Marchishieva and Roganov 157.17 to 154.70. In fact, Ashtakova and Rump were fourth in the pre, behind fourth overall Kristina Bogdanova and Andrei Kositsyn. The junior competition there wasn't quite as eventful. Oksana Nagatali and Maxim Broborov won both segments. The senior ice dance competition had only two entries, and winners Daria Semenikina and Jan Glazkov only scored 93.72. The junior competition had more and better teams, though none that could touch the 136.93 of Sofia Evdokimova and Igor Bazin. The dual ladies competitions actually conclude tomorrow, with the shorts skated today. Evgenia Gerasimova leads the senior competition 5 points over Yulia Tukhtoshkina and Elena Radianova in a surprising third, while Serafima Sahanovich, with a higher score than all except Gerasimova, has a big lead in the junior competition. Going back to the U.S., Evan Lysacek was interviewed following his not competing at Skate America, and he talks of the injury he's been dealing with for some time, getting daily therapy as part of his training and spending less time on the ice while also spending time in the gym. He insists, "This is my full-time job, so training is my number one priority." More relaxed was the interview with Kimi Meissner, who talked about the arena being hot during the Medal Winners Open and how she got her costumes designed in only a day and spent most of the time catching up with everyone, including the judges. And finally, Jamie Soleil and David Peltier were among this year's inductees in Canada Sports Hall of Fame, a two-day affair ending with a gala on Thursday, attended by family members, including their 5-year-old son and her new husband, and her old coach Jan Ullmark, who she gives credit to. Soleil said of it, "Dave and I were at the table laughing as old friends. We said to each other, 'How great is this?' We both had tears in our eyes. The gala will be broadcast in Canada on November 4th. They also donated their costumes and skates from their famous love story free to be put on display by the Hall of Fame. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Everyone batten down the hatches!"